This is All About Home Construction, and here's your hosts, Terry Cannell-Beck and Randy Blake.
That's right. Good morning, Randy. How are you?
Good. Yourself, Terry?
Ah, beautiful Saturday morning. If you like, you know, rain and fog and stuff like that. But
how about,
it's
just some warm weather.
You know, warm weather. Let's go say warm's kind of nice. I'll take that.
Might be a good day for fishing now.
I got too many things to do than sit on a bank and fish. I'm not much of a fisherman.
I'm getting the fever.
Well, speaking of fever, spring fever, lots of time to plant things, right?
It's coming, gardens.
That's right.
Flowers.
I was actually working on the garden last week. Got some peas in the ground. Maybe a little bit early, but you know what? I tried it. We'll see what happens.
6 mil plastic's all it takes.
Yep. Protect them. But I got some peas in, some kale and things like that. And I got the flower garden ready, so we'll see how that works out. But, of course, we're talking about outdoors and planting things. Maybe not so much gardens, but I'm sure you know a little bit about that as well. But Mr. Harry Yates from Yates Landscaping. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Thank you. Good morning to you. Glad to be here.
So, Randy, why don't you start it off here?
Well, on our first show, we had a lady call and want to know, have somebody on about landscaping it. So, you know, like our first month was on insulation.
That's right. We just finished our series on the insulation and home energy efficiency.
So we're going to try to address landscaping, retaining walls, tree removals, and items like that this month. So our first guest in landscaping is Harry Yates, which is a registered landscaper.
Okay.
In Watauga County, and was the first registered landscaper.
That's nice.
In Watauga County.
What does that actually mean there, Harry?
North Carolina has the Landscape Contractors Registration Board, and you take a written test and then a plant identification test. And in Raleigh, sometimes they come to Asheville for the test, but it's through the North Carolina Registered Landscape Contractors Board.
Okay. So I guess just that means you just kind of go above and beyond you know, me going out and cutting yards, I guess.
Yeah, that's correct. As I said, a written test, and then 100 plants that you identify.
I can name 100 plants. Grass, trees, pine trees.
Well, that's me. As far as I can go with the grass is what I got to plant for my cows to eat.
what exactly, you know, I need some landscaping done. What exactly do you guys come in and do? Like, what do you offer?
We come out and give estimates on landscaping and do the installation and also have maintenance. Most landscapers do basically the same thing in terms of estimates and installation.
And type of plants, too, that would be hardy for this area?
That's correct. I'm a firm believer here in the mountains of trying to stay as local as you can with the plants that are acclimated to this climate we have here.
Yeah, because I know the city's got a list that's 4 pages long of different things that they want, and you know we got a lot of water around here, and a lot of trees aren't good for that doesn't grow good in wet ground, swampy ground. So
exactly, wind and chill factors very important as to the type of plants you plant and the north, south, east, west orientation to plants is extremely important.
Well, and again, you know, we've kind of harped on this throughout all of our shows. The climate, the weather up here kind of affects everything. You know, we were talking about insulation earlier in our last series, about how different elevations or different parts of the hill, you get wind in one place. And you think about that as we were talking about the house, but I guess the same really applies to everything that lives outdoors, you know, plants and trees and things like that.
Well, with today, too, probably location of your trees, you know.
Sure.
Blocking out sun, which certain times of year will cool better.
Right.
Heat better in the summertime. Definitely now you don't want any trees in your front yard to the south facing. Shut the sunlight off.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, wind blocks, too. I guess I'm sure you do quite a bit of that.
We do. We do. Primarily using the evergreens, you have the hemlock, white pine, spruce. There's some hollies, arborvitaes that make good windbreaks. Norway spruce make is an excellent windbreak. You have to be very careful on the higher elevations with severe wind. That'll burn the spruce a little bit on the west side.
Okay. But
what about people that have hemlocks planted now? And you know, we were discussing that earlier about the blight that hemlocks have. Is there something that they can spray or do to take care of the blight on it? Or not necessarily a blight. There's something killing them, so.
Hemlock woolly adelgid, excuse me, is the insect problem that we have now with hemlocks. As we've all seen in our forest, a lot of the hemlocks are dying from that adelgid. We still use them on landscape because the adelgid is very easy to control. And hopefully, when the hemlocks do die, then hopefully that adelgid is going to move on too. So it's very tragic, in my opinion, that our hemlocks are dying. It's comparable to the chestnuts many right. years ago, which was a fungus. This is an insect.
Well, you know, it's sad to look up and you see, you know, whole acres, really, of dead trees, all hemlock, you know.
Well, you know, my whole life I've been a youngin. Well, everybody going up and down 321 Lenore, Charlotte, yep. right before you get to the water plant. About 4 years ago, them big hemlocks on the right there in Blowing Rock.
Okay.
Finally died out.
Yeah.
And they're huge. So.
Well, that's it. You know, and hemlock was a good wood to have. I mean, you could use the trees itself, like you were talking about, landscaping, but then you can also turn it right around and use it for lumber. And you can make pretty much your whole house, I believe, Randy, with hemlock, can't you?
Most people used hemlock for their floor joists.
Right.
And a lot of farmers used it for fencing. It's I don't know what's happened to the hemlock trees, but I know that hemlock has about the same consistency of sap as cypress.
Okay.
Because cypress is real good around salt water
right.
and didn't rot. And then, golly, there used to be some board fences for decades around, you know, barn lots and stuff like that. And then seems like a nice barn lot we built with hemlock. I don't know if they cut the tree was too big to cut or, you know, right stage, but it was definitely shaky.
Right.
You know, and it is a wind tree that does shake, so.
Your hemlock also provides a lot of shade and cover for the creeks and streams, the trout streams and creeks, which trout are very susceptible to water temperature. So.
Right.
And, yeah, well, that is a tree that can be planted around water.
Yeah.
And we, last year we had to take a class, you know, for our green renewable, and it just happened to be on trees. Hardwood trees of the Appalachian Mountains. And the question was asked, how many hardwoods are there in the Appalachian Mountains?
Okay. But that's a pretty big number, I would imagine.
Well, it surprised me because I guessed about 28. And they said 144
okay.
hardwood species of trees.
Yeah. That's can you name them all, Randy?
No.
You didn't get that far?
No, I could, but it's truly amazing that we have that much here. Well, a lot of them
sure.
are. Rhododendron's actually considered a tree.
Okay.
A dogwood's considered a tree.
Right.
You know, a tree.
Well, and you know, when you get into it, also, I guess you have your oaks. You know, you got chestnut oak, you have your white oaks, you're in different varieties of all in one family, if you will.
Now, we were talking about this too, about like locust trees. White oak trees are starting to die out now. Is there things that we can do for that?
Well, you have a lot of fungus problems, of course, and with dogwoods and anthracnose, very, very difficult to control the fungus in the wood setting or in our natural settings here.
Is it a like a blight for it?
Exactly. That's.
Is it outer bark, inner bark, core blight, or?
It eventually gets in and stops the translocation of the water and nutrients up to the tree, and basically that's what kills the tree.
It's just kind of suffocating the tree out.
Exactly.
Huh. So, you know, you hear a lot about blights and things like that. Is that just because maybe we're more aware than we were in the past, or is there just more out there than years ago?
More out there. Basically, everything has come across the ocean from Europe and pretty much starts in the north and then gradually comes down into the south.
Gotcha. So it's kind of, you know, yeah, like I guess like an invasive species kind of thing, where there's there's nothing natural in the tree that'll combat it and kind of hold it off then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, in most yards, well, when you go to a person's house, let's say new construction, and architects draw trees, plants, and stuff like that. Do you have to sit down with the contractor or the homeowner and, make a suggestion on what would do better for them and, their altitude and their water conditions?
You do, exactly. And water drainage, obviously, is extremely important, not only in the landscape, but, of course, the construction, too. And you have some plants that are more water tolerant than others. Basically, you have the evergreens, the deciduous trees, and then the shrubbery. And, most landscapers try to incorporate those three broad categories into their landscape.
What about a size of a tree would you recommend for, let's say, which we all know that if somebody wants a 10-foot tree, it would be quite outrageous, but would you recommend for, like, starter trees, height-wise? For yards and stuff?
Depending on the situation, evergreens are like 5 to 6 feet, 6 to 7 feet. If you plant a 10-foot spruce or hemlock as an example, there's a pretty severe shock to that plant. So it's going to be a couple of years before it actually takes off and grows very much, whereas a smaller tree within 4 or 5 years basically would be about the same size.
Okay. So you're kind of it looks smaller to begin with, but in just a few years you're kind of equaling everything out.
Exactly, and of course the larger the plant, the more difficult it is to transplant.
Right. I tell you what, Randy, let's take one of our first breaks here, and then we'll get right back into it. Also, don't forget, if you have a question or concern, comment you want to make, 828-262-1567 is the number. We'll put you right on the air. You're listening to All About Home Construction right here on AM 1450 W8.
Next time you adjust your thermostat, think about all of the tiny cracks and crevices around doors and windows, pipes and ducts, and in other places you can't even imagine, the places where your perfectly conditioned air escapes. Blue Ridge Energy Works can do something about it. Blue Ridge Energy Works can insulate your home using spray foam insulation, and not only will it make your home more efficient, it'll also make your home more environmentally friendly. To learn more about Blue Ridge Energy Works, visit brewgreen.com. That's BREW green.com.